Many of you have heard this amazing Torah before, but nonetheless, it's worth repeating, and maybe we'll do it in a little bit of different context, thanks to Rabbi Gladstein, who said this amazing story with a little bit different context. So we're going to be learning in just a few minutes, the Nativ HaShalom is going to try to understand why every letter, every word of our Parsha is significant, is important, even though, to be honest, when we learned the Parsha together, we were asking ourselves, I don't really get it. I don't understand what is the significance. Didn't we just hear about the Mishkan like a few weeks ago? It's a repeat. What's the, you know, anyone has to ask themselves that question. What's the point of repeating these verses? So before we jump into Tiva Shalom's answers, I want to give you guys an amazing, amazing, one of my favorite Torahs about the Megillah codes. The Megillah codes. So we'll start like this. There's an ancient tradition from the Kabbalists that Tainis Esther is actually the most important fast of the year. People think it's just like another fast. But actually, it's the most important spiritually fast of the whole year. And why is that? Because what happened on Purim, you see, there was a decree to wipe out the Jews. And we got the happy version, we were kids, that, you know, everything was wiped out and that everything was nullified. But the truth is, say the Kabbalists, that the sin was still there and we never paid back the Jews that needed to be done. And so Tainis Esther is when we're trying to nullify. Shalom, shalom, welcome, welcome. Tainis Esther is when we're trying to nullify those bad decrees. But hidden in the Purim story is allusions to the bad decrees that unfortunately are going to happen to the Jewish people throughout time. So if you ever look in that Megillah, you'll see there's big letters. There's some big letters and small letters. So there's a Taf and Chet. A Taf and a Chet is 408, which if you add it up, in our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, ends up being 1660, if I'm not mistaken, 1668. And that happened to be the year of the Tavatat, I'm forgetting the name, of the terrible massacres, where a lot of Yidden, unfortunately, were killed. And that big letters are an allusion to the fact that the decree of Haman was happening later in history. It was pushed off in the time of the Jews, okay? And now it's happening later in history. Now, and that's actually a chesed, because if all those Jews would have died in the time of Purim, then we would have been all wiped out. But in that later time period, we had enough Jews, and that those big letters allude to this tragedy. Okay, you with me so far? And that this prediction was made before that massacre. That the big letters refer to a massacre that's going to happen later in our history. Now,
and the name of the sons of Haman, where are those letters from?
So now that brings us to the very famous story, which is the sons of Haman. Okay? So where do we start? Let's start from the following fact. That in the ninth chapter, and I think the 10th verse in Esther, we have a crazy story. So Esther, you know, they set up Haman. Haman's on the couch. Ahasuerus walked in, and bing, bang, boom, off with his head. We kill Haman. Very nice. But then Ahasuerus says, you know what, Esther, whatever you want, ask for anything you want. Mamas, anything, not even, you know, it's all good. And what does Esther ask for in the ninth chapter of Megillah? Anybody remember? What does she ask for?
Kill Haman's sons again.
Hang those dead sons. They're already dead. They've already been killed. Her one big request, she doesn't request the Beis Hamikdash. She doesn't request $1 million. The only thing she wants is to hang those dead, you know those dead guys? Hang them up tomorrow. She says to the king, hey, king, can you please hang up these 10 dead guys, you know, really tall, in front of everyone. Okay? That's what Esther does. And everybody with a brain has to ask himself, really? Like, that's it? That's what you asked for? What's up, shot? What's going on? Why is Esther making such a strange request? Yes, Ariel? So it could be that this is part of the psychological warfare. Everyone's going to see the dead children of Haman, and therefore they're going to have more koach to fight the enemies. And it could be that there's a logic to the madness. But there's another strange thing about these verses. And it's interesting that in the ninth chapter, you guys can see, there's big letters in Parshan, small letters, not big letters, but small letters. Parshan Data with a Tav, a Yud and a Zayin. Tav, the Yud and the Zayin, which are small letters written in the ten sons of Haman. Boo. Now, for many centuries, people wondered and asked themselves, why are there small letters? What is the deeper meaning behind these smaller letters? And no one really knew. But, you know, that's our tradition. So we're sticking to it, you know? So that's what we did. Now, let's fast forward to a very interesting, again, so question two is what to do with the little letters. So in order to answer that, I want to tell you a very famous Gemara. By the way, there's popcorn, in case you guys want on top of it. And the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Bet, says, Rav Yitzchak said, basically, he talked about Germania of Edom. There's someone called Germania of Edom. The Vilna Gaon says Germania stands for Germany. Germany of Edom. And if they would go forth, they would destroy the entire world. What does that mean? Rabbi Chana Bar Chanina says, there are 300 crown princes in Germania of Edom and 365 chieftains in Rome. And every day one goes out to meet to the other and one of them is killed. And if they were to come together, trouble would come to the whole world. Okay? So that is a strange Gemara. The Gemara is telling us, in Germania, 300 chieftains, if they would come together with Rome, real trouble. Okay? Now, in 1871, Germany had 300 different princedoms. The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. It's written that, I think, what was his name? I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, the emperor unites all 300 kingdoms into one kingdom.
Bismarck.
Very good. It's been a while since AP European history. I did ace it, I'm just saying, 20 years ago. Anyways, the point is, Bismarck unites everyone into one Germanic nation, and they attack in World War I the whole world. And they do not make a deal with Italy, i.e. Rome, and they lose that war. But in World War II, Hitler, Yamach Shemo, comes out, and he mamish attacks the whole world. And the first thing he does, to the surprise of all of his generals, he makes a deal with Italy. And he keeps that deal. It's like the only deal that he kept. And the thing is, like, why? Who cares about Italy? I mean, they know how to make pizza, but they're not really that such great fighters. So, like, who cares? But apparently the mazel, the angel of Hitler, Yamach Shemo, knew that in order for this nevuah to come forth, he needed to make a pact with Italy. And unfortunately, Hitler, Yamach Shemo, was very successful. Just as this Gemara and Megillah predicted thousands of years prior. Pretty wild and crazy. Now, let's just go to the end of the story. In the Nuremberg trials, how many people were tried and to be killed? There were 11 Nazis, Yamach Shemam, in 1946. And they're all, you know, going to get killed. And there was a machlokes if we should shoot them or we should hang them. And they were actually okay with being shot, but they didn't want to be hung like common criminals. But ultimately, Israel ruled they're going to hang them. They were very upset about this. And 10 of them are hung on the gallows. Okay? Now, what happened to the 11th guy? The 11th guy, I think his name was Goring, committed suicide. Okay? Which is pretty crazy. Because maybe we're familiar with the Midrash, which says that the son, that the daughter of Haman, she saw the guy on the horse, so she threw the bathroom stuff on Haman. She realized it was her dad, and what did she do? She committed suicide. Not only that, but Goring's a guy, she was a girl, but Goring had, he had many female tendencies. So it's pretty wild and crazy that exactly in the Megillah 10, and exactly 10, get hung. Just like was predicted.
History.
And
history repeats itself.
And what's going on is it's unbelievable here. You understand what happened? When Esther asked the Melech, maybe she wasn't talking to Achashverosh. Maybe she was talking to the real Melech. We have a Masorah that whenever it says Melech, it's referring to Hashem. And she says, Machar, which means one day, Hashem, hang those people as they deserve and restore justice, restore sanity to the universe. And that's what Esther was davening for. So these, and of course, the kicker is, those three letters, what do they spell out? Tafshin Zayin. Which is would be 1947. But didn't we say the Nuremberg trial was in 1946? Uh-oh. You can do Gematria, you can do plus one. No, I'll do you better. 1946, they did the trial. They're supposed to hang them. And then the church objected. And Israel waited. And in the end, they hung them in 1947. Tafshin Zayin of Hoshana Rabbah, the Day of Judgment. Okay?
But did you say what
Streicher
said?
Hold on. Yeah, we'll do a second. And then you might say there's a lot of Tafshin Zayin. But there's Vav. Vav, the 6,000th year. That's the 5,700. That the Vav is the 6th century. Because otherwise there's a lot of 770s in the Israeli calendar. And yes, the kicker is that one of these Nazis, Yimach Shaman, Streicher, right? Calls out right before he's about to get killed, as if his angel just knows what's going on here. Purim Fest, 1946. Purim Fest. As if he knew somehow that this is a second Purim. That this is really the wiping out of Amalek. That Amalek, maybe we're taking him from big to small, and we're almost finished wiping out Amalek. And this is an unbelievable example, if you ask me, of Bible codes, which, by the way, we're going to have a whole shiur about very soon at our Amunah seminar. This is a promo for that. But it's also an amazing example of the depth of every single letter, every single word of Torah has meaning. Sometimes we're zoicha to see it. Sometimes it'll take hundreds of years to understand. But every word is of supernal wisdom. So I thought that was a really nice introductory thought before we open up in Tivah Shalom. You guys agree? Very nice. Very nice.